Hello and welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. My name is Brigitte Mangale and I'm a director in our pro bono and human rights practice based in Cape Town. I'm joined by Algene Ruiz, a senior associate in our practice based in Johannesburg. This is the first episode in the Beyond 16 Days series. Algene and I both run practices that drive matters and project work that support or seek the development of women's rights and issues. Last year, we ran extensive campaigns in support of the internationally recognized 16 Days of Activism for No Violence Against Women and Children. Part of our messaging was to communicate the importance of playing our part in the fight against GBV and in support of women's rights, not just in 16 days, but year-round. Now, as an extension of that theme, we introduce this podcast series that will, throughout the year, discuss issues relevant to the women's rights, gender rights, and anti-GBV space. The series will include a range of discussions, including sharing noteworthy developments in the strategic litigation we run, discussion on matters in the public eye and in mainstream media, and include guests who are prominent voices in the space. We hope that you will not only enjoy this series, but also be inspired to take stock of the role you and/or your organization play in support of women's rights, and consider how you might continue to build on that contribution year-round as we all come together to address this social issue. I hand over to Algene, my co-host, to reintroduce herself and tell us more about her areas of interest and her practice's focus. Algene, as you tell us more about your matters of interest, please would you also share your views on the importance of 16 days of activism and the importance of keeping these issues front of mind?
Thank you very much, Brigitte. Hi, everyone. Firstly, I'm very excited about this podcast series and the fact that we have decided to do it. In a country like ours, where we have such a high rate of violence against women and femicide, it is important for us to use every opportunity and resource available to continue this important conversation. So as mentioned, my name is Algene Ruiz. I am a senior associate in our pro bono and human rights practice in the Johannesburg office. My interest in women's rights stems from how women are still perceived in South Africa and the place we hold in society. South Africa is constantly lauded for having a progressive constitution that recognizes the right to equality, and one would argue that in the context of equality, the Constitution speaks about substantive equality rather than formal equality. But we do not see this on the ground. There continues to be a disconnect between what ought to be and what the lived reality of women are in our country. Over my career, I've had the privilege to use my skills as an attorney to try and incrementally effect change for the rights of women through supporting advocacy initiatives, legal reform, and impact litigation. One of the biggest cases we worked on last year was a matter that directly impacted the rights of pregnant migrant women and accessing free healthcare in public medical institutions, regardless of their immigration status. This was a case where the law was very clear on what the rights of pregnant women are, but it was not being effectively implemented, and it was therefore necessary to ensure that the practice on the ground was aligned with the rights conferred to pregnant migrant women. 16 Days of Activism is always marked as a major campaign in South Africa, and given the important message behind it, it is understandable why. Interestingly, 16 Days of Activism is not unique to South Africa. It was started by activists at the inauguration of the Women's Global Leadership Institute in 1991. The fact that South Africa has incorporated this campaign domestically shows the importance it places on raising awareness to end violence against women and children in our country. South Africa has some of the highest rates of violence against women and femicide, and it has thus become pivotal for every stakeholder to ensure that they provide support and resources to not only women who are impacted by GBV and the systemic issues they face within the legal system, but to also continually support women's rights organizations and movements beyond the 16 days of activism and all year round. Last year, during 16 days of activism, we launched an important case which speaks to the conduct of SAPS officials when dealing with cases of gender-based violence. In this matter, SAPS failed to act in accordance with their constitutional and statutory duties when the complainant reported a case of rape, kidnapping, and assault with intent to cause grievous bodily harm. Unfortunately, due to SAPS's failure to act, it led to the untimely death of a young woman by the hands of her boyfriend. We also conducted training on the process of applying for a protection order. The training focused on the law and the practical process of obtaining a protection order in terms of the Domestic Violence Act. As part of ongoing training on this issue, our practice also developed a guide on how one goes about obtaining a protection order. This guide is available on our website, and we hope to use it in further training throughout this year. Brigitte, I know you had some interesting things in December to mark this period. Please share with us what your practice did during this time.
Thanks, Elgene. It certainly was a busy end to the year, and I'll start by summarizing one of the highlights of my year overall. I had the privilege of co-hosting, during the 16 Days of Activism, the soft launch of an app created by an incredible organization by the name of Kwanele. Kwanele is a nonprofit focused on providing support for survivors of GBV and also those under threat of GBV. Its app aims to provide holistic support for this group of affected persons, and I have no doubt will make a meaningful contribution in the fight against GBV. The chatbot of this app was soft launched on the 6th of December last year at an event where not only was there a demonstration of the app's chatbot, but where we heard from incredible speakers, Musi Maimane and Nobuntu Tlazo Webster of Build One South Africa, Anne Isaac, who sits on UCT's Tribunal for Sexual Offences and Gender-Based Violence, and CDH's own head of tech law, Taiba Suleiman. It really was an incredible event where so many important representatives from different stakeholders were able to come together and share ideas on the contributions that they can make and that they should make as we all come together to fight gender-based violence. Also, at the end of last year, I was able to make significant headway in many of my litigious matters and projects that support cis and transgender women. I was also fortunate enough to be invited onto ENCA to discuss the work I do, highlighting some of the strategic litigation and project work to which I've just referred. The focus of the discussion was not only the role to be played by human rights lawyers and activists, but also the important role to be played by government in this space. Government's theme for the 16 Days of Activism last year was accelerating actions to end gender-based violence and femicide, leaving no one behind. The sub-theme was safe access for women to clean water, a basic human right. Government explained that the chosen theme speaks to the importance of ensuring what it refers to as an all-society and multifaceted approach to fighting GBVF, and that its sub-theme sought to address the barriers women face in safely accessing water and sanitation in South Africa. Government kicked off the campaign on the 25th of November last year at a commemorative event in Mpumalanga. From what I can tell, there were also a handful of events held around the country over that period with the intention of bringing stakeholders together to recommit to the fight against GBV. There appeared to be a recognition not only that government has a unique role that it can and indeed is obliged to play, but also that GBV and women's rights are social issues, and that we must all make our contribution to this cause. Algene, I take this opportunity to hand back to you for your comment on the nature of these issues and to revisit your earlier comment on the importance not only of the 16 days commemorative period, but also the importance of addressing these issues well beyond 16 days.
Thanks so much, Brigitte, for that insight. While I do believe that government and our courts have a role to play in dealing with these issues, I definitely think that it is also a social issue, as it affects the very fabric of society and embeds itself in every sphere of our lives, whether private or public. And what I mean by this is that violence against women does not start when the case is reported at a SAPS police station or when a woman engages with a magistrate's court to try and obtain a protection order. But often, It starts in our most private setting, which is our home, at the hands of an intimate partner or family member. It also extends to the experience we receive in public when we are walking down a street, the fear we have when getting into a taxi and there are only males in it, and as we know, even going to a local post office is not even safe anymore. So ending violence against women and children is not only the responsibility of government or our courts, but a responsibility that we all hold in holding perpetrators accountable. This must happen in the workplace, our social circle, and even at home. It is also our responsibility to hold government accountable to not only talk about the violence against women pandemic during Women's Month or 16 days of activism, but rather to use these as opportunities to take stock of what is going on in our country and to develop a multi-pronged approach to how we systemically deal with eradicating violence against women. Unfortunately, with the high rates of GBV in our country, this is an issue that must be worked on every day. It must be prioritized, and it must be front of mind to create a safer country for women and children in South Africa.
Thank you, Elgin, for those insights. I think my key takeaway from what you've just shared was the importance of addressing these issues in our private spaces. And the comment you mentioned as to instances of GBV not occurring at the police station or at the reporting authority, but in our private spaces. And in some of the spaces where we take for granted that these issues would rear their head. GBV and GBVF are not matters only to be shared on mainstream or social media, or are not only matters to be shared with public authorities. They are matters that we must be concerned with on a one-to-one basis in our homes, in our work settings, and in our friendship circles. There is always a contribution to be made as we move forward day by day to a version of South Africa that on the ground reflects the ideals of our constitution. That then brings to an end this introductory episode. Thank you to our listeners for staying tuned. Please do look out for upcoming episodes where we will discuss developments in some of our cases. And these discussions will include comment on our strategic litigation, the legal development that we hope to achieve, and the impact we hope to achieve in pursuing the particular matter. We'll also discuss noteworthy issues in mainstream media and hear from guests who are active in the women's rights and anti-GBV space. We look forward to connecting with you all again soon.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.